Janice, I apologize to you if I don't seem real eager to jump into a forced, awkward, intimate situation
that you
like to call dating. I don't like the feeling. You're sitting there, you're wondering, do I have food on my face? Am I eating? Am I talking too much? Are they talking enough? Am I interested? I'm not really interested. Should I play like I'm interested, but I'm not that interested? But I think she might be interested, but do I want to be interested? But now she's not interested.
So now all of a sudden
I'm starting to get interested. Where am I supposed to kiss her? Do I have to wait for the door? Because then it's awkward. It's like, well, good night. Do you like the ass out hug? You like you hug each other like this and the ass sticks out because you're trying not to get too close. You just go right in and kiss them on the lips.
Or
don't kiss them at all. It's very difficult trying to read the situation. And all the while, you just really wondering, are we going to get hopped up enough to make some bad decisions. Perhaps play a little game called
Just a tip. Just for a second.
Just to see how it feels.
I'll touch her on my hair.
And everyone said jabroni.
Jabroni! Fucking guy, jabroni!
Welcome to the Jason Domenico podcast.
Today we are honoring wedding crashers.
You know you made me wanna
jump, kick my heels up and jump, throw my hands up and jump, throw my head back and
jump.
Come on now. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Who gives a shit? It's a great band. It's a bad band. It's like pizza, baby. It's good no matter. There's music in the air.
Shout,
yeah. Oh, hey, hey. Shout now. Come on and shout now.
I can do it myself, asshole.
It's a good time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rubbing up against each other. Just a couple of kids like the fuck trying to make it honest. I get it.
He says he believes in art. But all I've seen him do is dribble his own blood on a canvas and smear it around with a stick.
You know, some people call that art.
It's crap.
It's crap.
Oh, would that make you love me?
Yes.
And then, of course, you can challenge the Klingons for interstellar domination.
Right, Trekkers?
The awesome
thing. Nunchuck.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Why don't you try getting jacked off under the table in front of the whole damn family and have some real problems?
Jackass.
Jackass.
Hey, Ma! Yeah. We get some meatloaf!
The meatloaf!
The meatloaf. Ma, the meatloaf!
Fuck!
Welcome everybody to the Jason Domenico podcast.
Hurt. Episode 42. Pick up your fucking skateboard! We're honoring wedding crashers.
Of course.
This is chapter 4. Here's some more. Any Will Ferrell character can stop by anytime
because
we love
him. I know who's coming by, man.
So much.
Hey, Ma! We get some meatloaf! Hey, Ma! The meatloaf!
The meatloaf!
We want it now!
We want it now!
The meatloaf!
Fuck!
Mom, the meatloaf!
Oh,
fuck!
God. What is she doing?
I never know what she's doing back there. Will Ferrell for president! What they're reacting to, everybody, is a bubble machine. That's
sexy
right.
Time bubble machine.
Player.
Iron, stupid
and
higher.
Stupider. This podcast is rated PG-13 for
fuck.
The new forever, we're going to use that forever now. This podcast is forever evolving,
yes,
and it's evolving by the listeners. This is the only podcast I know that evolves from what the listeners want, and it has its own drinking game. Hello.
Fuck.
The meatloaf! We want it now! You know she's doing back there.
Jason Domenico is the Rocky Horror of podcast.
With group participation.
Boom!
Boom!
Hey!
Hey!
Fuck!
Fuck! Stupid dick!
Stupid dick!
Hey!
Hey!
Like the bean!
Oh, shit!
All the fun and love, just a running barrage of shit. She's falling out, man.
I think I just peed. Consider this podcast. Consider the duration of this podcast a staycation from your problems, and I think we just showed you how.
A vacation on the other side of the world from your problems. Domenico is a recording artist, a fantastic singer, and I sort of tricked her into doing this podcast. I said, hey, let's just do this one time, play a little game called Just a Tip.
Just for a second, just to see how it feels. You know that game, guys. Let people into your world, D. Let's hear you talk some shit.
And now here we are at episode 42.
If you're a new listener, don't freak out. It's okay. There's a lot of inside jokes, but you'll get it. As long as you have an open heart, a good sense of humor, if you like the paranormal, and if you like ghost adventures, you found your home. There's the Inception train, everybody. Just strap in, get ready, blast off. Planet Mattress. don't stop it. No, no, don't stop it. No, just don't stop it.
Fuck!
Nobody says fuck like Will Ferrell.
I can't even compare to that, man.
Welcome to Planet Tomac, okay, a mythological, magical planet where demigods are here and kicking it. There are fairy circles on the floor. You heard that? That's a harpy. A mythological harpy is here to keep all the haters and the bullies off Planet Tomac.
Everybody can
then
see.
I'm fighting. Yeah.
You can be your alter ego like Dungeons and Dragons.
And you can have magical powers like Harry Potter and Twilight. And guess what? Sparta's here. We are Sparta! They're looking for a new oracle, yo. Anybody that's interested, win.
You would do it, too.
It's so extra stupid here today.
I am WT Wizard, the shapeshifter. That's my hoverboard.
Yes, it's very shiny and
thank
fabulous.
You
didn't pay for it, though.
No, no. It's a gift from our sponsors.
I am Queen D. Morpheus, the siren. That is actually me singing, guys. That is the Domenico Siren Call.
You can download it at DomenicoArts.com.
Verna Knights, Bronies, Trekkers, Legend Trippers, GAC Family, and Vagrants. You're all welcome.
Everybody's
here on
welcome.
Planet Tomac.
Uh-huh.
What you just heard is Jack Fairy. He's the king fairy here on Planet Tomac.
Dancing,
he's
man.
The tour. I know, right? He's the tour guide, and he takes us from one topic to the next. My two old, fucked up senior geriatric dogs.
But you love them.
Lowe and Shakespeare come to every podcast, mm-hmm. and they get magical powers, too, on Planet Tomac.
Where's Lowe?
My 13-year-old pug Lola turns into the zombie pug ferret. Play with Tinkerbell, baby, and find some chicken.
With those two fangs in the front.
I know.
That's all she can get chicken with.
That leaves my 15-year-old grumpy 25-pound Shih Tzu mm-hmm. Shakespeare, who's got a sweet Ewok face, but don't touch him because he'll fuck you up. He gets a magical power, too. He gets to talk. What do you want to say, Shakespeare?
I choose a fifth.
What?
I choose a fifth.
I didn't know he was so political.
Shakespeare's
man.
Exercising his Fifth Amendment
his
right.
Constitutional
says,
rights.
I'm not saying shit.
I choose the fifth.
Private at home.
You right, little Jake. Asshole.
It's okay, buddy. You can do that.
That motherfucker's
man.
Mean enough already. Here's Jack Barry.
Yeah.
He says it's time to move on to the first topic.
You know your teacher, Miss Brenda?
Yeah.
She's dead! God, never! Died a horrible, painful death! Gone, 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 just like your dog!
My dog's dead!
I just ran him over with the car when I drove in! Everyone you love around you is dying!
That's lovely trauma. That's a lovely mystery clip of trauma. I got called in to jury duty in Manhattan. Last time I got called in was about 5 years ago, and I got called to civil court, which, all right, you know, that's domestic stuff, a little bit lighter fare for jury duty if you have to do it.
Okay.
I got called into criminal court this time.
Oh, man.
So it's like, I knew it was fucking on, and I had decided ahead of time that I was not going to serve. So I know that's wrong.
Let's just have an open, honest discussion about this. I don't know anybody that enjoys jury duty.
Right. It's,
I think pretty much everybody tries to get out of it.
I mean, it truly disrupts your life, and you kind of have to think about it.
You want it out of it.
I want
you
it out.
And you wanted help.
So
it's like, it came to me.
I was like, all right, I need to talk to you about this because this
what
is a
say,
soul-searching
yeah.
episode.
Right.
Because, I knew going in that I was not. It was not for me.
Right.
And I knew that
not
I was
going to.
I sat down in my seat. I picked at random. There's 3-4 seats. I picked at random. I look right in front of my ass, and they're etched in the wooden seat in front of me. It's a middle finger that just says, fuck!
And I can vouch for it because he texted to me. He sent me the picture.
I was like, you won't fucking believe it.
And everybody that's there doesn't want to be there.
No, not at all.
The energy is horrible.
I overhear other people talking in the room like, oh man, I hope I don't get called. I hope I don't have to go up and do anything.
Everybody's going over their excuses.
Right.
Right. And let's just get to it.
I compiled a little list of the excuses that I heard people give there that they thought were going to fucking
that doesn't work.
Do a home run.
Okay, so everybody listen.
All right,
so here we go. We're going to let you know if you want to get out of jury duty, and don't judge us because we feel this way. If you want to get out of jury duty, these are the excuses that will not work.
We're just keeping it real here.
Go ahead, go.
All right, so the number one is, I don't speak English. right?
But I'm here.
The judge got up to him. He's like, listen, man, You got here. You understood your summons, which is in the English.
Right.
You understood when they called your number to go follow this guy and come up here.
Right.
You speak enough English.
All right. So that's out the window.
That's out the window. And
what's the next excuse that won't work?
Is that you don't have anyone to watch your kids. That's just a non-starter.
So that doesn't work.
The next one is you can't get time off from work because of either your schedule or your type of job.
And they'll do it.
If a judge calls your boss, he has to legally let you go.
Right.
So that's a non-starter.
So don't do it.
And the other one is that you have travel plans, either personal or business. Like you have a business trip that you're going on.
Yeah.
It's already set. And they say, oh, okay, well, let me see the travel plans. Let me see the itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised to see how much traction that one actually had.
Really?
And I did notice that the more succinctly and clearly and logically you stated your case, the less chance you had of getting out because they wanted your ass on the jury.
Right. So right.
One of the things the judge said, this one guy was like, listen, I would hate to lose someone as well-spoken as you, so you can go ahead and sit down. But those are the jury duty get-outs that just don't work.
That don't work.
Don't work.
All right. We're trying to help
you. This is day one. If I get on a jury now, I'm in, man. I can't get out. So
and
like, this is what you told me.
I coached him, everybody.
Because he was on jury duty a couple of years ago.
No, I don't even know what year
call.
It was. It was so long ago. Basically, what works is you have to say, hey, I'm a victim of a crime, which for me, that's not a lie. You don't have to tell them what it is. I'm a victim of a crime.
Right.
I don't believe in the system.
Right, it's busted.
If they're here, they're guilty.
Right.
I was taken into another room.
What?
They just shuffled you out in the room and said, listen, you need to go.
So that's what works, guys.
Mm-hmm. I sat through all the people going up and giving their excuses that didn't work. They all sat down. And then the final question the judge says is, all right, now, is there anyone here who has an issue with this type of case? I was like, shit, all right. I get my nerve together and I go up to the podium. I look at the judge in the eye.
I'm like, sell this shit.
Fuck.
I told you. Once you get up, your nerves will kick in. So you won't have to fake emotion because it's there. I told you. And I said my shit. I was like, I really sold that shit, man. You can't help it. It's in the moment.
The nerves mixed with the emotions.
Stay authentic.
I was authentically selling it. Just as a side note, this trial was for two guys who in one night had committed two robberies and capped it off with a murder.
I'm out of here, Spumoni.
Spumoni, I'm out. Like, there's no way being part of this,
no,
bet.
No.
All right, now day two, I come back, and now I'm sitting in the same room with the people who heard me sell my story.
Okay.
So they're all looking at me a little off.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, maybe I'm on a list now. Maybe I'm on the unstable, just not suitable for jury duty list.
A breaking case of emergency.
If you need some motherfucker taken, but probably not.
Yeah.
Day two comes and goes. I don't get called for a single panel. So I'm thinking day three, they're going to let us go first thing in the morning and I'm out.
Yeah.
Day three comes. I show up and then I get called on the last panel of the day on a Friday at 3:00. Everybody in that group of 30 knows that it's Friday afternoon and it's game time. And if they get out, they're all going home.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
So everybody's rehearsing their stories.
So we go in.
It looks like an audition room. They're all going in to read the same part. I'm out.
Like, I'm out of here.
What was the case about?
The case was attempted robbery.
Great.
Not as bad as murder. So the judge says, okay, listen, we're going to run it this way. Anyone with a problem, we're going to bring you in one by one.
Yeah.
And you can tell your story. I'm like, okay, good. You know, at least I'll have, at least I won't have to be in an audience when I sell my shit, right?
We can share the first line I told you to tell them, really? You walk in and go, just being here is triggering me.
I mean, that's a game changer right there.
It is. We're not encouraging people to get out of jury duty. If you want to, we're trying to help. That's it.
The system is broken.
The system is broken.
It's fucked up on many levels.
I feel a responsibility. If I say something that strong, then I should have something to say about it.
Right.
Well, I don't. I'm just going to be honest. Right. I don't. It's just the system doesn't work.
Of course, like all kids, I had imaginary friends, but not just one. I had hundreds and hundreds, and all of them from different backgrounds who spoke different languages. And one of them, his name was Caleb. He spoke a magical language that only I could understand.
Patato? The first theme to the Wedding Crashers.
Patato?
Wait, Suma! The Najmi! The Chichi!
So good.
There's Jack Ferry.
Yeah.
That's why we have him. He says,
he's
stop
helping.
Fucking around, guys. It's time to get to the next destination. Where are we going, Jack Ferry?
These are our ghost adventures.
There are things in this world that we will never fully understand.
All right, D. Where are we going this time?
Season 10, Island of the Dogs.
It is dangerous to be carrying these dolls around.
Oh, God.
We could attack.
These dolls are gonna take our souls.
Dude, I don't like him here.
This is like my worst nightmare.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
I feel like I'm gonna cry right now.
Oh, yeah!
TAC!
Way to go, Zach! Way to face your fears!
Huge fear.
I think he's more afraid now.
In 1950, Don Julian Santana Barrera was tortured by guilt and despair after he was unable to save a drowning girl in the canals of Xochimilco. When a lone baby doll drifted up to his small island, Don Julian received it as a sign. For 50 years, he collected dolls, offerings to the little girl, and hung them throughout the island. I'm not sure if I can go through with this investigation.
I don't blame you.
Because I've got a very real phobia of dolls.
I don't have a phobia of dolls except like Annabelle and Chucky.
Right, right.
But like,
imagine being surrounded by the one thing that really fucks you up.
Oh, yes, I can imagine that. Okay, thank you very much. I'm not afraid of dolls, but that island I'm afraid of. Pulling up to it, how ridiculously scary.
That was even daytime and it looked haunting.
Oh, but then when they pulled up when it was night. All right, we're jumping ahead.
All right, so there it's Xochimilco, which is...
Xochimilco,
which is on the outskirts of Mexico City. It's a whole little town built around these canals, and there's issues with the canals, issues with the Isle of the Dolls. There's a lot of deaths.
It's just lots of issues.
Not issues around there.
Professor Sebastian Flores Farfan is an expert on the history of Xochimilco. Our guide, Fernando Benitez, translates for us.
I'm sorry. I still can't get past the name.
So what they were discussing was this guy was an actual friend of Don Julian. Don Julian was on the island playing guitar, so the mermaids would see him and hear him because they were going to take him. There was a big mermaid mythology around the canals.
Well, first of all, we are on planet Tolmac, a mythological, magical planet.
We already got him here.
Question, yes. Do we believe in mermaids?
Interns?
Yes! You're sitting next to a siren right here, yo.
Close enough.
During the Mexican Revolution in 1911, Zapatista rebels rampaged through Xochimilco, set it on fire, and left a trail of bodies behind.
Just complete annihilation of it.
They dump all the bodies in the canal, so all the skeletons are in the water.
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's the worst thing you could possibly do.
It's horrifying.
Decomposing flesh.
It's like a haunted house for reals.
And on the way to the island, they come across a local cultural play that's going on.
The play is about a woman who drowns her kids and is caught between the real and the spiritual world. So I want to say, as far as energy is concerned,
yes,
that can't be helping the situation.
No.
So Julian was having a lot of contact, or he was visited by the spirit of the girl. So he put the dolls there to keep the spirit of the girl in peace. Because the spirit, she cannot find her way to go out.
What about the local canal operator who had that story where he was on the canal and he heard this drum beat and then it like got faster and then his heart was pounding and he felt like he was going to have a heart attack and then he got possessed.
I mean, shit, those canals Spumoni. Are those canals
Don
are insane.
Julian's nephew, Anastasio, takes us to the spot where he found his uncle's lifeless body 13 years ago.
That's scary enough. Can you imagine finding a relative just floating dead in the water?
Face down the water and then to
therapy,
see...
of my life.
And then to see a huge fish come up
and
take its soul away.
Yeah, he said he saw the life, the spirit go out of him when this huge fish mermaid slash snake take his soul.
Don Julian kept a shrine for several special dolls, including the doll that floated up after the girl's death.
This is the very first doll? One?
Yeah. They all move in a very particular way. It's not like they move just one arm or one eye. It's like the whole body, you know? There's one doll that makes this like crying sound, like she had batteries.
Fuck.
That's creepy. I'm out of here, Spumoni.
Jackie Moon knows, man.
Zach has this brilliant idea to go get Harold the evil, haunted doll.
Apparently the most haunted doll.
To bring to this island of the dolls.
Guys, I want to introduce you to our guest investigator. One of the most haunted dolls in the world.
Harold the doll. You guys don't understand. There's so many stories surrounding it. A very elderly man owned this doll for 60 years. He originally got the doll for his son.
That's nice.
A few years later, his son died. After his son died, he and his family would experience this doll laughing and crying and singing and moving. He took it to a priest. The priest told him the doll was possessed. They told him to burn it.
Okay.
But the doll won't burn.
Evil doesn't
burn. It won't be set on fire. So the old man sold it at a flea market.
That's fucked up.
And since then, every single owner that has had it has had paranormal experiences with the doll.
Couldn't he bury it? Like, it's fucked up. Like, I get wanting to get rid of it. It won't burn because evil doesn't burn because evil lives in the fire.
Then put it down, right? Then just put it down on the
ground. You can't smash it up. I think maybe if you rolled a truck over that motherfucker, he would have smashed. But burying it somewhere,
he'll show up back in your house.
Popped its head off. Or, I mean, that's the number one rule when you want to kill something. You chop the head off.
And the arms and the legs.
But to, like, sell it at a flea market.
But they're saying don't look at it in the eye, but
you
we're
can't
watching
touch
this fucker
him.
All
That's
the time
what I'm
on
saying,
the show.
Right, like, you can't look him in the eye, but we're all looking him in the eye. So obviously not in person, you can't look him in the eye, and you can't touch him, but Zach's touching him.
So the boat driver says his theory about what's going on at the island is that the island is actually positive.
Right.
And that when people bring negative things
that's
to the
when
island,
there's a problem.
Right. Which that.
So you're like, great, and they're bringing Harold the doll. But here's what I'm saying. We love our boys, right? We love our boys. Nick wasn't on this one, and we missed him on it.
Yeah.
They're bringing potential evil with them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not evil guys,
in a
but
bag.
We understand. No, I'm not talking about Harold. I'm talking about the demons that sometimes are piggybacking our lovely guys of GAC because they're fucking around with demons all the time.
Right.
I'm just saying.
We meet with the psychic at her home. And she tells us that there are five spirits inhabiting Harold the doll.
The guide slash translator Fernando
Benitez
was explaining to the guys, like, this psychic is the real deal. She's telling me things that nobody knows. She's talked to Don Julian before. And she's saying that the five spirits that are in Harold, one of them was a crazy lady from a mental institution.
Of course,
which
why
is
not?
My all-time favorite.
Why not? She's been hearing from Don Julian, giving her instructions and also information because he knows that JC's coming, and and it seems like he's happy about it. Like, well, he wants them on the island.
He's like, listen, when you go, celebrate me.
Yeah.
Drink some pulque.
drink some pulque.
The psychic says it's not mermaids. It's a big snake that wraps around you and kills you in the water. So people aren't drowning.
Right,
they're being killed by this thing.
On our way to the car after the interview, I start to feel a mysterious pain in my left arm.
So I look at my arm and I have these three little teeny tiny bruises. Doesn't it look like a little baby hand grabbing
like
my arm?
Very weird. And we hear it from Sabrina that we should be aware of our hands.
Right. Our hands and our arms.
Our hands and arms.
I forgot about that.
Maybe I'm a little fucking crazy. That's right. Maybe Jeremy's a little nuts. But there's something about me that I'm a little cuckoo.
I know it's
a surprise. I know it's not on the surface.
It's not on the
surface. I had an imaginary friend when I was a kid. His name was Shiloh. We used to play checkers with each other every day.
God bless
his heart. Shiloh always let me win.
That's from our theme today, Wedding Crashers.
As we make the long journey to the possessed doll island, we are reminded that this ancient prehistoric canal system, which was built by the Aztecs, is like a network of veins pumping this cursed water mixed with the blood and souls of all the bodies that were dumped here, polluting the bottom with bones.
Built upon horrors, man.
It's nighttime. They can't see shit. Zach's like,
it looks
I hope
different.
The boat guy here that's driving us can see where he's going.
Pulling up, it looks very different than it looked in the daytime. And as they pull up, they kind of sit.
So
evil. They're like,
While we wait for Billy and Pedro to arrive in the other boat with our gear, Aaron and I decide to step foot on the island without night vision cameras in order to do some exploring.
And then what happens? They hear noises like cans. They go. They look. And there's a fire that started.
Who? What? When? Where? Why? What?
Spontaneous demonic combustion.
So I think they might have had some negativity on their back. Or no? Or did he have Harold at the point? Or was Harold coming in the case after? I don't know.
They
but
didn't specify
that
yet.
That seems like an objection.
Things are getting really strange right now because when we pulled up on the boat, we were within feet of where this fire pit is, and it wasn't lit.
No, it
this
wasn't.
This spot was absolutely pitch black.
It was.
Once we get on the island, we hear a bunch of cans getting kicked around, and as we head towards where these sounds came from, we see the fire pit with no flames whatsoever.
That's crazy.
Only seconds later, there is a blazing inferno in the
fire pit.
Demons.
Or what started this fire? There is no one else on this island. There are no other boats, and we are in the middle of nowhere.
I'm laughing because I'm so scared right now.
Shit,
Now
they have arrived, and now Zach has Harold in the bag. And
all right, so he is
Harold's on the island now. Harold's, he's arrived.
Harold wanted to go to the U.S.
He wanted to go home.
And he did not want to go to Island of the Dolls.
They found the one place he didn't want to come.
Shit's about to go down.
Got Harold the Haunted Doll right here, who I think put three bruises on my left arm earlier.
He did.
That still has me shaking the f*** up. And the psychic has gotten so much stuff right.
She straight up said, this is a good island or you're bringing a bad doll.
They were told.
Don't make me sound like I'm doing something bad.
No, you're not. I'm just warning you.
It's just an experiment.
I know.
I'll take the doll back after we leave. I'm not going to leave it here.
This scene really reminded me of you and I in front of Annabelle at Lorraine Warren's Occult Museum. And also in front of the Amityville Horror House.
There's this camaraderie, but this it was very difficult to get it done.
Especially at Amityville. I not only big stepped, but I also had fucking hashtag GA to the house.
Standing in the middle of the fucking street, man. That was very stressful, but there's a camaraderie that trying to get it done
it's
under
like,
these situations.
Come on, hurry up. Come on, I'm trying to dig a hurry up.
I can do it myself, asshole. I can do it myself, asshole.
That's, I'm myself, asshole.
Fuck, that's from our theme
reminds
today.
Reminds me of my grandmother.
That's from our theme today, Wedding Crashers.
No, I'm not ready for this.
Whoa, bro. Come here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Run.
It's crazy.
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
One of them's laughing.
I feel like I'm there. Oh, my God. Fuck. Oh, my God.
Devil.
Holy shit.
This.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh, my God. I felt like I was right there with them.
You felt their
tears. I'm lightheaded and my goosebumps are out.
I backed up, and all of a sudden I hear it started. I thought it was a cat fight. I thought a cat started fighting.
Too.
And then when you ran back, I was listening, just giggles, and I was like, this thing is a horror.
Oh, what the
fuck? It was a horror movie.
It was, Aaron. Total horror movie.
Scary. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God is right.
I mean, it was like this. The dolls were cock-blocking Zach from opening up and bringing out Harold.
Totally. They're like, no, I don't think so. You're going to keep that fucker in the bag.
Just as I ask Aaron twice if he's ready because I'm about to bring Harold the doll out of the bag, an unbelievable energy force goes off like a bomb inside of this shed.
Of course it does. Evil and bad colliding.
No, I'm not ready for this.
Whoa!
We believe that the possessed dolls in this shed stopped me from bringing Harold out of his bag. And this force was also sensed by two cats that you can hear spontaneously start screaming and freaking out right before doll begins laughing behind us.
This is definitely a horror movie. And both Aaron and Zach keep looking at that bridge thinking that somebody's rolling up on
them.
Keep
looking behind
them. And somebody is. We just can't see them, but they can.
Once they calm down.
They're going to go debunk the whole doll laughing.
Right, because they can't believe
they do,
it happens.
And they find wires attached to nothing.
There's nothing there.
There's
it's not
evil,
alive.
Like, baby doll in like a rabbit suit. All just evil.
Yeah.
That was a horrible laugh. When Don Julian's nephew listens to that doll, they play it for him.
He's like, I ain't heard that shit forever.
Never. Plus, that doll had a nest of spiders living in it. It was just everything about it was wrong.
And
he never heard that laugh before.
Amongst the stray dogs barking along the canal shoreline, we all hear a very strange, high-pitched sound that is in a frequency we can't explain.
Of course.
Come on. Ooh, that's some Close Encounters kind of shit. That's like Transylvania, that forest, right? That's what's going on in that circle.
Cats going, dogs barking, the spontaneous
they
Close Encounter
shit. They both get the chills really bad.
And then after...
There's a fucking scream out of nowhere. Play the scream.
The banshee.
Do they have baboons or orangutans over there? Because if they're not hanging out over there, what the fuck was that? This one gets me jacked up.
That could be a screaming pug, too.
It is at this time that I invite Pedro to help with our investigation by trying to make direct contact with his friend Don Julian, who lived on this island, who witnessed the little girl drown, who brought the very first doll to this place, and who also died here mysteriously. We make our way to a very sacred hut, which was the actual residence where Don Julian lived and died. I place flowers next to his shrine, as well as this specially designed doll engineered from our good friend Gary Golka, which will detect presences of electromagnetic energy. We begin by asking Pedro to see if he can make Don's spirit manifest.
Yeah, Pedro starts talking to Don Julio.
As Pedro talks to his friend Don in Spanish, I witness a black rectangular anomaly manifest right out of his shrine. Yeah. And at the exact same moment, Billy witnesses lights coming from inside the hut with his own eyes.
That was crazy. That looked really weird. That was a spirit.
That was a
shooting
spirit
right out of his shrine.
Heading towards his buddy.
He was like, hey, I'm talking to you. Va-boom, here I am.
Saluting him with the dulce.
Oh, that was nice. That was touching, right? Yeah.
I now bring out the SB-11 spirit box to see if Pedro can hear Don's voice. Earlier, before we left the docks, I had our translator tell Pedro to give me a thumbs up if he hears Don speak.
It was like 20 minutes, nothing. Then Pedro starts talking to him, and they're getting responses.
Right.
And he looks so cute. He just thumbs up to Zach. Zach's like, all right.
That's my buddy that's been dead for 13 years.
Thumbs up. It was very moving the way that he was responding to talking to his friend.
Right,
he brought flowers. He's ready to drink the poke.
The poke
drink. The poke.
Yeah. I mean, you could really see him just feel like he was there.
It was
beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Himself.
It was, and it choked Zach up too because he's like, this is what it's about. Yeah. I'm jumping
After
ahead.
After we wrap up this investigation at Don's hut, we follow Pedro to the other side of the island because he wants to try to appease the possessed doll that laughed at us earlier by leaving flowers as an offering.
Good luck with that.
So they head back to the shack.
Well, they caught a light anomaly accompanied by footsteps. They do a full spectrum sweep of the island, and they end up back at the shrine. This is scary.
I didn't feel a spider or bug crawl down my back.
I felt
an icy cold hand that had this static type energy to it. To add to this experience, right after I ask,
are you trapped in these dolls?
An angry voice speaks in English and says,
English.
I don't like her, stupid.
This is crazy.
Are you trapped in these dolls?
Oh my God, that is an amazing EVP. Please play it one more time. Stupid English.
Oh, so they know
Zach
they get
it. Because Zach was taking Harold out of the bag.
Right,
that
sure.
was one of the five evil spirits attached to Harold the haunted doll.
They wanted to
and
make sure
was,
they knew.
Zach was asking that question,
right.
and he had it up next to some random doll there.
Right.
I don't like her. Stupid! Stupid dick! Stupid dick! All right.
They head now back to the boat to talk to Don Julian's
nephew.
Can
you imagine if they got that? Stupid dick!
Stupid dick!
Feeling like a sensual Barbie doll.
That's so fucking scary, man. They take Harold out and they put him on the floor and they sit him right next to the sensory doll that they got there with the legs wide open.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Back at the boat, they start talking to Don Julian's nephew, who tells them how grateful he is for allowing him to communicate with his friend after all these years.
Yeah.
That
he didn't get to say goodbye
cool
to him.
Yeah.
So this was like, he knew that that was him coming through and that he got to have this goodbye. And like, everybody's getting choked up.
Yeah.
Everybody in here is getting choked up.
He appreciates a lot that you guys came, that you guys give him the opportunity to be in touch with Don Julian for
this
experience, for this experience, because he was not here when he died. He never could say goodbye. Yeah. And he can feel peace today.
Oh, that's awesome.
He can feel he could say goodbye.
Wow. Emotional.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. This is what this was about.
That's right. That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
it was very, very moving.
As we are packing up to leave the island, something odd begins to occur with Harold the haunted doll. You will first notice that underneath Harold, the ground is cold. But as we fast forward the footage, watch what happens.
It gets
extreme
hot.
Heat begins glowing unexplainably beneath Harold.
Under
this
his
can't
bum.
Be debunked.
That's
Harold
fire
is not a living baby. His body does not generate heat. So why are extreme temperatures emanating on the ground where he
under
sits?
His bum. You know why? Because Harold is a demon! He's super hot! Zach,
take us out!
Why do they bother me so much? I can handle other things. Uh-huh. I can handle investigating demons.
Really? What?
They just disturb me. Their faces. These dolls are gonna take our souls. I don't know if I want to get off this boat.
Me either!
GAC!
Another amazing lockdown.
These have been amazing. It's been great.
Season 10
long.
Is off the charts. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. So everybody here would like to formally say goodbye to Nick Groff. We are very sad about it. We wish you happiness and
Absolutely.
Health and abundance and good luck on
Ghost Stalkers on Destination America, which is a sister channel of the Travel Channel.
Okay, and, so you know that's nice. It's not like a totally different network.
Keep it in the family. He just wanted to do his own thing. And
Nick is a co-founder of Ghost Adventures,
right.
And I would be lying
Don't
if I said
that.
It doesn't make me sad because the trio
right.
had an amazing chemistry,
right.
And I would not be surprised if they get together to do a special sometimes because
we're just putting it out there,
right, guys.
Right.
You got to find your way back to each other. Sometimes you need to leave and spread your wings, and sometimes you need to come back.
Rock me, rock me, rock me, six of jeans. He died for our sins. You gotta believe us. Rock me, sexy Jesus, all night long.
We're going to hell.
That was a
mystery clip.
Yeah.
You know what time it is, baby.
Time for evolution, revolution, free your mind.
Come all to King Arthur's Camelot and sit down at his round table where we come together as equals and talk some shit.
Fucking awesome. Sign me up.
Let's speak some truths, shall we?
Yes.
I'm gonna get deep and dark. Just the way you like it. Tolmac is Camelot backwards, where everything is free and fabulous. And
yes.
I want to take this opportunity to send love out to my fellow Planet Tolmac family.
All right, Jean.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I've been thinking about death lately.
Nice. Such a bright person
thinking
about death.
Death lately.
Right.
And it's interesting how everybody says it comes in threes. Mm-hmm. Who's the other? And it does happen that way. So I'm wondering, with the power of energy, if everybody's believing that
and expecting it,
are we killing off the person that's most likely to die next sooner because we need three?
Maybe.
This is what
Maybe.
I think about. Sometimes this is what I think about.
I know why you've been thinking about death. If you want to get into it, you can. If not, we'll just continue on the topic of death.
We could baby step.
You like to keep it real on the podcast. You keep it authentic, and sometimes that means being vulnerable and opening yourself up
sometimes.
And exposing. Sometimes. And
all right,
exposing
so what you're asking
your
me right now
yes.
is to elaborate more
a little bit.
On some pain.
Just some context.
Well, why don't you walk me through this, because I'm in pain. First
of
all, let me just say this.
Yes.
How much does it suck to watch your pets get old and just fall apart? That is so upsetting. That's happening to me now, too. I mean, guys, you hear, you know, Shakespeare's 15, Lola's 13, and you just watch every day, like, something gets more broken. You know?
Yeah, you can literally see them just winding
down. It's
such
a sad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Lola, she looks her like a grandma mouth more and more, like
right,
her tongue sticking out and shaky. He's just, like, that's a whole other thing. And it's sad to watch them, but you have to love them through the end of their lives. It makes me really upset, actually. Actually, you see a lot of people, that's when they give their pets away, because they have a lot of medical problems and it's expensive. And yeah, I get all of that. And I get having moments where you want to give them away.
Right.
Like, I can't do all this.
Right.
But you cannot do it.
You can't.
You can't do it. Come
you
on.
Can't surrender a pug,
you
man.
You love your animals. Don't give them up at the time that they need you the most. I mean,
right.
I really feel strongly about that, because that happens
that.
A lot.
Yeah.
But if you need to surrender a pug, then please surrender it to curlytailpugrescue.org.
The greatest.
And thank you, Lori Sweat. Is that right? Sweat?
Yeah.
Sweet?
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I miss I fuck up everybody's name.
Two T's.
S-W-E-T-T.
Double T.
Thank you. She's the one that sent me that wonderful picture of Oscar and me at last year's was a Kisses and Pugs fundraiser
Pugs
for Curly Tail Pug Rescue. Yes.
Yeah.
And what was the photography? It was by Petra.
Petra Photography.
Yes.
It was amazing. I mean, that is such a like cuddly panda bear shot, you know?
It's awesome. So thank you for sending me that. I really appreciate it.
Oh.
Lori is Oscar's forever foster mommy.
Yes.
And please tell Oscar that he's going to be getting some more bully sticks for Christmas.
He's getting the gangster 50 bundle.
Let me get back to what I was saying. One of my many goals is to have some kind of system where there is better, get me into healthcare for yeah. animals so people right. don't have to give up their pets when their needs become stronger. So, you right. know, like animal healthcare, that we know that that doesn't exist. They have insurance for pets and it's bullshit. Right. It doesn't work.
It's very cost prohibitive.
Yeah, it makes no sense to get it. Right. So that's why nobody has it.
Right.
That's something that really needs to be put in place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's kind of like a full circle, like you're talking about, well, then mm-hmm. rescues, you know, and pounds and why
right.
dogs and cats and animals get discarded. You know what I mean? So if we start correcting some of that,
right.
you know, it's a domino effect. Right.
Find some way to
right.
disrupt that cycle. Yes. So it's either, because it's emotionally mm-hmm. taxing and yeah. financially taxing.
Yeah.
If there's some way to just short circuit one of those problems.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's hard to watch, but I can pay for it.
I mean, the cataract in Shaky's left eye is very mature.
Yeah. quite
it's
marvelous.
So hard, but he's so sweet with his face. Okay.
He still has the puppy face,
he
which
does.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
At 15, he still wants
to
play.
And hey, guys, Lola hasn't had a seizure since August. Just
yeah.
so I know you guys have been asking for an update on Lola.
Right on.
And she has this condition. She will have it for the rest of her life. She's on a billion more medications than I'm on.
Yes.
And she will be having these seizures for the rest of her life. So
right,
it's not
how it
like,
goes.
But she has not had one in 3 months. She's on a good cocktail mix of medications. So just keep yes. praising Jesus. Say, thank
yeah.
you, Jesus.
Thank
she
you,
doesn't
Jesus.
Need any more seizures.
No.
If she's got to be on these meds, fine. Just don't let seizures manifest.
Right.
And I can't obsess. Don't have a seizure. Because guess what? She's going to have a seizure then, right? And that goes back to the book, Game of Life, and how
right.
to play it.
So you had a personal loss.
There's been a lot of
amongst
deaths.
Your close family.
Yeah.
Or close friends.
Mm.
Most listeners don't know how much loss. I'm always surprised, too, how much loss you've had in your life if you add it all up.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I know that you lost someone very close to you. And it was a very surprising death. It was out of nowhere.
I mean, I'm not going to give names, but let's just say WT Wizard is my best friend, but there is one best friend above him.
Right.
And she's my best friend since I was 2 years old. I can't believe I'm talking about this.
You mentioned her on the podcast before.
Yes.
Several times.
I'm not going to say her name now.
Right, right.
Her dad died.
I know that he was a second father to you. So I know that that's a huge loss for you. And if you want to talk about it, that's
I feel
okay.
selfish talking about my pain about it because it's really hard for me to talk about. It's hard for me to talk about my pain without then immediately thinking about my friend's pain.
Of course.
And my friend's mother's pain.
Yeah.
And I feel selfish. Like, you know, he wasn't my father. Yeah, he was a second dad to me. And they took care of us when my dad died. And sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
And it was a shock. It just like literally he had breakfast, he went to work, had a heart attack, and died.
Right.
And this guy, okay, I mean, all right, okay. I'm okay with talking about this because like I actually
the interns and I are all with you. We're right here.
Let's celebrate his life. I
right.
mean, this guy, you know, he's just the kind of guy you just never thought he would die. You know, one of those.
Yeah, sure, of course.
I mean, you met him. He was an incredible
did.
Man.
I did.
He was really good with us kids, you know, growing up. And it was always like a bunch of us, like my brother and like and my best friend, her family. There's like 100 kids, you know
right,
what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And he would like take us ice skating and roller skating and sledding.
Right.
And like you named to the movies.
Yeah.
Like he was that guy.
Right.
Let's dye some Easter eggs.
Right.
That's and, you know, that's who he was. And he was like that for so many people. And so many people have reached out because of his death that my friend is overwhelmed in a good way.
Right.
Overwhelmed, like how many lives that you know they've touched. And I say they, I mean, you know, her dad and her mom, who
the
is
family.
Still alive.
Right,
yeah, it's hard for me to not think of them as a unit.
Of
and
course.
You know, when I said this to her mom, this is really personal. But when I said to her mom,
yeah,
you know, you just need to know how special you are and how special you guys are and everything that you've done for people. And she just said, yeah, I had no idea. I'm like, really? Because that's what makes
that's
you.
That's crazy.
That's what makes you so special that right. you don't even realize what you've given to so many people.
They're just giving love all the time.
Yeah. And so that was a really hard service.
Right.
To watch people that you grew up with and your best friend and them just break down.
Yeah.
Break down. There wasn't like a dry...
He was a, like when you hear about families and like the certain people are pillars of their family.
I mean,
he was the pillar of that family.
He was, and he was the cook, and he would make pancakes, and he would put food dye in the pancakes, so we'd have green pancakes, sometimes we'd have blue pancakes.
It's like, fuck it.
And like one time, he put green food dye in the mashed potatoes, so it was mashed green with brown gravy. And I remember my friend's mother came to the table. She's like, oh, fuck this. I can't take this shit. And us kids are like, yay. And then out of nowhere, it'd be like, okay, so let's go to Central Park and go on the carousel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
One time we jogged across the George Washington Bridge. I don't even know what that shit was about, but it was fun.
Yeah.
We were in Chinatown once and we went up to like this little thing and there was this huge can of sweet tart lollipops.
Right.
So he went over and he's buying one for all the kids. And there's a whole bunch of us.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, he turns around with this smirk on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that funny shit just happens about to happen. Turn around. And he had the whole barrel thing. He bought
like,
the whole thing.
<He's> like,
yeah! I mean, as a kid.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He was just a big kid for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he gave you guys a lot of love, a lot of compassion, a lot of care. And I mean, I only met him briefly a few times, and I could tell what a huge loss it was for him to not be around anymore.
He always made sure to tell me a story about my dad. So why don't I share that story that he shared?
Okay.
Because these are my second parents, and he was my second dad.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of love for me and my brother. So he always would make sure to tell me a story about my father, because they knew my father. Basically, there was a wedding coming up and everybody needed to learn how to waltz.
Of course.
He's like, your father stopped what he was doing. Because my father, everybody, was a professional tap dancer and choreographer. He's like, he brought me down to a studio. He was so patient with me. He was like, 2 hours, so patient. And he said, you know, and then finally he just looked at me. He said, you know what? I think you're right. I don't think you can learn this.
And that's coming from a professional tap dancer.
That was my dad. He's like, God, your dad was a saint. The patience, he never got angry once. He's like, it's just after a couple hours. He looked at me and finally said, you know what?
Like,
I don't think
this.
You can learn this.
He's like, fuck, you're right, man.
I think people should embrace mourning. That sounds kind of crazy.
Grief is nature's most powerful aphrodisiac.
Come on, Chaz.
Look it up.
That was true. I'd be the horniest motherfucker in the world.
What?
No, we tell ourselves we only have a certain amount of time to mourn.
And that it's stronger to not be sad and not mourn.
Right.
I'm going to power through it. I'm going to get through this mourning.
Yes, exactly.
Like, are you fucking crazy?
You're not. It's going to haunt you the rest of your life.
Right.
And then you're going to start
It'll
doing
slowly,
drugs
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Everybody, you know, you're self-medicate, whatever the fuck that might be. You need to bang a lot of people, whatever it is. You can't run from it. There's
bang
no way out. The only way out is through. You got to feel it to heal it.
Boom.
And I've been feeling it.
Oh! Sadness.
Damn you, Roger!
Damn you!
Damn it! Damn you!
Damn you, Roger!
Dude died in a hang gliding accident. What an idiot.
Idiot.
Oh, I'm hang gliding. Honey, take a good picture. I'm dead!
That's from our theme today, Wedding Crashers, the great Chaz.
Will Ferrell for president! I've spent most of my life grieving until I learned how to really grieve as an adult.
Right.
We don't learn how to grieve properly, and we carry this around.
It's a very difficult skill to master because it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And it's,
I'm not saying I've mastered it. I'm just saying the hole in my heart is smaller.
Right. At the end of it,
you've
worked through it, and you can go on with your life and celebrate it instead of still suffering with the same pain
and
that you
put
have.
It into my art. Wonderful pain makes wonderful art. Since we're talking about death, it's very important, guys, to take this opportunity to reach out to people that you haven't in a long time.
Who are alive.
Yes. Well, yeah, it would help if they were alive. Yeah. And tell them how you feel. Don't wait till somebody dies and be like, oh, I wish I would. Why? What is it that they die and all of a sudden we feel differently about them? That's the thing.
Face the fear now of confronting them and dealing with the hard emotional issues so you don't carry that plus the guilt of them being dying.
Here we are facing fears again, guys. You see,
here we go, here
full
we go.
Circle. I just want to take the opportunity to remind people that December 8th is the 34th memorial of John Lennon. And that's a big deal here in New York over at the Dakota Building.
Right.
It's like people are packed outside singing Lennon songs. I kind of feel bad for Yoko. I mean, you know, 34 years of this, that's a lot. You know, I mean, it is about the love.
Yeah,
can you imagine if you lived at the Dakota? Really? What's going on? John was all about the love. So we need to continue what John Lennon started.
What is that,
keep the torch lit for peace.
Hashtag evolution.
Revolution.
Just on the note of trying to make up with people who are alive before they die. Before, yes, hopefully, by the time we get to the next
it's
podcast.
It's time to be thankful for WT Wizard Douchebag yearly Christmas card. I really hope it gets here
the
soon.
The official douchebag card should be here just in time.
We look forward to that every year.
Wait a month, denounce your name, Kachichi.
Kachichi, what does Kachichi say?
Kachichi says that I'm actually not going to make up with him.
Ever.
He is the exception to the rule. He can just fucking die.
What? You just die. He's a demon.
He's a real
Nothing
thing.
But pain and destruction can come out of a relationship like that.
Right, so
see, so guys,
no.
We keep it real. We say, you reach out to somebody before you die. But then there are those people that should just die.
What?
That 0.5% of the population, they just shouldn't have made it through.
So with that, Merry Christmas from everybody here at ELE Media in New York. Merry Christmas and have a fabulous New Year.
Merry New Year.
Shazam.
Bang, 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 bang. Oh, some drinks right there. The intern's caught it already. All right. Dee, what is the third rule of Glam Dream Pop?
The third rule of Glam Dream Pop is you must listen to the soundtrack of Velvet Goldmine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think you're gangster,
tack on.
Watch the movie. Yeah. Wedding Crasher Rule 63.
Okay, go.
Bring an extra umbrella when it rains. Courtesy opens more legs than charm.
Video kill the radio star.
Fuck!
Video kill the radio star.
Right, the podcast listening fans requested that Dee was losing her shit over there.
I'm crying.
They requested that Dee remake Video Kill the Radio Star in glam dream pop style.
So go download it
at DominicoArtist.com.
I can do it myself, asshole.
The fans are saying, do it myself, asshole.
You guys are retarded.
All right, Dee, now it's time to get to some shit. Compose yourself. Let's get to some shout-outs, man. This is going on forever,
man. It's time for some shout-outs.
All right. It's a Wedding Crasher, rule number 35, okay. Breakfast is for closers.
Hey!
Hey!
That's true in life, man.
What's up, GAC family?
Hello.
See, I'm professional here. All right, I want to give a shout-out to my fellow Tolmac family member, Robert Dean Vassar.
At Vassarfied.
That's his new Twitter name, but we know him here as his alter ego, which is Rob Reaper.
He's the invincible immortal with the power of flight and death touch.
Boom!
Boom! Your fellow Tomacians want to send you love, light, and blessings to your family. God bless your mother.
Yeah.
Her miraculous recovery is amazing.
It
is. It's nothing short of a miracle, and I think that's wonderful. So
congrats,
we're sending
Rob.
Love out to
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Thank God.
Manuela?
At Manuela underscore heart.
She made me the cutest Facebook video.
Oh, hi,
yes, but she's a very sweet person. She always sends nice tweets out, so this shout out is for you.
Just saying hi.
Just saying hi, and I appreciate you being such a fabulous person and a GAC family member.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea.
At Chels underscore Bieber underscore XX.
She sends me really sweet tweets saying how much she loves the podcast.
A lot, so
thank
man.
You very yeah. much, girl. She also made a Ghost Adventures Christmas card.
Right
and she
on.
Made that with X Delightful Missy X.
Which is at Delightful Miss XX.
Who is now making a Zach Bagans birthday photo album.
Okay.
So fellow GAC family members, if you want to be a part of that, you need to make your own edit with your at Twitter name on it and then DM it to at Delightful Miss XX.
Okay.
And she is a big fan of the podcast too. Thanks for listening,
Thanks
guys.
Thanks for listening.
CurlyTailPugRescue.org.
Yeah, the greatest. At CurlyTailRescue. And there's another account at CC Pug Rescue.
Yeah, I just realized that was the bigger account. I feel like a fucking idiot.
Oh, man. You're you can never be an idiot if you're a supporter.
Oh, you know I like that. Okay, yeah. Thank God. If I fucked up anybody's name, I'm really sorry.
Bang, bang.
We are ELE Media New York City.
Yes.
We are independent.
Yes,
and
so
there
yes.
There is no machine to help promote and support and spread the word of an independent artist like Domenico. Here at ELE, we only do one thing, and that's create art.
Yeah.
These artists express through her singing, her writing, her producing, creating art in so many formats.
Yeah.
You have music, your podcast, you make graphics, you write blog posts, and even down to your simple tweets, they still carry your message and inspiration.
Hey, now.
And guys.
You're getting swollen up in the chest.
You can rest assured, when you're talking to Dee online on Twitter, that's really Dee.
Yeah.
That's not some intern somewhere like a lot of people do.
Yeah, it's really me, guys.
Everything online is Domenico artist. An easy way to remember that is her name is Domenico.
Yes,
and she makes art.
That's
where it comes from.
So that makes me an artiste. So Domenico artist.
That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Vine, Pinterest, and of course the home base of all love, DominicoArtist.com.
Where all your wildest dreams come true.
So here is what you need to do today. This is simple. Go to iTunes.
Listen up, interns.
Go to iTunes and leave a 5-star review about how you feel about this podcast and Domenico herself.
Ooh.
You'll be putting positivity and light out into the world just by sharing how you feel about D.
How do you help an independent artist these days?
You use the buddy system.
I'm glad you asked, D. We use the buddy system.
You need somebody watching your back at all times.
So share the music.
Share the podcast
with at least one friend and ask them to do the same.
The buddy system.
And the currency is retweets, shares, and downloads.
Despite being 1 year old, the waffle was delicious. Crisp and delicious.
The skeleton ran out of shampoo in the shower.
Stupid. There's the Inception train.
Always got
to. Get ready for that kick to be kicked off of Planet Tomac, out of my dream, back to Earth. But first,
7 chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. You know that old children's tale from the sea?
That's a mystery clip.
It's time to drink again. Yes, drink again. Bing, bing.
Fuck! That's such a staple of the podcast.
Welcome to the Chasing Domenico podcast drinking game.
The interns
made up the rules. Okay, what was the drink count for the last podcast, episode 41? We honored Tropic Thunder and revisited Ghost Adventure Zozo Demon House Lockdown.
It was 59 drinks. Which is good.
Oh my God. That's unbelievable.
Well, no, that's actually, I mean, amongst the scale of what we've had, that's pretty reasonable.
You guys are animals. Okay, read the rules. So, number one.
All one drink. When you hear a quote from our movie theme of the show, today it's Wedding Crashers. You hear Domenico say the word fuck.
Just me.
Just
fuck,
you.
Fucker, fucking, anything like that.
Right, combinations. You hear us say evolution, revolution, and free your mind. You hear us say mystery clip. When you hear us transport to Tomac, which sounds like...
Drink.
Every time Domenico says bang, or bang, or bang, bang, bang.
Each bang is a drink, baby.
All multiples. And every time Domenico snorts, it's a drink.
They seem to like that one. Fuck you.
But that's a fun one because you have to really pay attention.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
You got to pay attention to really get that extra bonus drink in.
Yeah, my charms are working here. The golden rule, you cannot say drink, drank, or drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You must drink.
Right.
The Planet Tomac rule, you must play as your party alter ego. So...
If I'm playing a Sir Chugs a lot, you look at me and say, hey, WT, drink, you're drinking.
And if I say WT drink, it's two.
Oh, shit,
it's right. And if you think you're a player, then add the gangster rule, which is the drink count to the Ghost Adventures Lockdown that we did today, which was Island of the Dolls. So go to Drinky Wiki.
That's right, Drinky Wiki.
And find the Ghost Adventures rules and do that too.
Just add them all together and you'll end up looking like our interns.
And then call the car services. Why? Because you ain't gonna make it.
time.
We're going to do a little prayer.
All right. Everybody, shut up.
Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
We'd like to ask for your assistance and guidance.
Amen.
In nailing this gospel tune.
Yes. All right.
We'd like to ask for special guidance for Wheeler Rolly. Because if he fucks up that bridge one more time, forgive me, Lord. I'm going to have to kick his ass.
Amen!
That is a
mockumentary mystery clip that's near and dear to my heart. There's Jack Ferry right on time.
Perfect,
he says it's time to depart from Planet Tolmac, the after-after party.
Through Wonderland.
Back to Earth, where the after-after-after party is at DominicoArtist.com, so bookmark
it.
Let me ask you a question.
Let me ask you a question. What movie are we going to honor for the next podcast?
The next movie we're honoring for podcast 43. This is going to be a crowd pleaser. Yes. Ready? Say it with me. Happy Gilmore! So you have until the next full moon, which is January 5th, to brush up on your Happy Gilmore quotes.
We all know
them. You should all know them already.
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, John. I'm fried.
Soft mattress?
Yeah,
that could have been it. Could have been the soft mattress, or it could have been the midnight rape. Or the new gay art show took
place in my room.
What?
You don't hear that shit too often.
You do, you're in trouble.
When we honor a movie, we honor the music too. So please, do enjoy.
Oh my God, don't ever leave me.
Ever.
Good. Because I find you.
That ain't worth it.
I'm sure you'd love to be free. Maybe go out and meet some Latin guy that can dance, grind up on you, make you feel dangerous, but also safe. What's the rule about walking away? Never walk away on a crasher in a funny jacket. Rule number 115.
Class.
I can do it myself, asshole.
Play the motorboat? You motorboat
sailor.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You're projecting.
Drop
it. You drop it. You stop projecting on me. Why don't you go enjoy yourself while I go ice my balls and spit up blood?
Drop it!
Team player.
Nature versus nurture, Lodge. Nature always wins.
She was a very, very family-oriented girl. She was very into her grandmother. The very family-oriented girl. That was my first Asian. You better lock it up. You lock it up.
Lock it up. Orphans, lock it up.
Lock it up.
Rule number 6. Do not sit in the corner and sulk. It draws attention to you in a negative way. Draw attention to yourself, but on your own terms.
That makes sense.
No, I don't even know what the fuck a quail is.
That's it. Go.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
What?
My favorite one. I'm not sorry, okay? I'm not going to apologize.
What the fuck is a cocksman?
Rule number 1.
I'll tell you.
Leave a fellow crasher behind.
Crasher behind.
Hey, Mom! Oh. We get some meatloaf!
You want some?
Yeah.
I need
the
meatloaf!
We want it now!
The meatloaf!
Mom, the meatloaf!
Doing. I never know what she's doing back there.
Oh my God, my stomach. Woo. This has been episode 42
of the Chasing Domenico podcast.
Everyone here would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New
Year for all of us and the interns of ELE Media
New York City. You stay classy, planet Earth.
Thanks for stopping by.
But mostly...
Fuck! Don't just have a great night.
Fuck!
Orphans!
Have an American night!
George, when are you going to do something with your life?
I got a dream.
What is your dream?
To have a dream.